Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you live from Washington, D.C. here on this Friday evening. I have a unexpected but very welcome guest who's been in town here for the last few days. Here for double purpose. He came for the big American Free Press Conference, and he's also been doing some research at the National Archives. And it's going to be another one of those controversial subjects. This gentleman who is joining us tonight, his name is Richard Craigie. It's spelled K-R-E-G-E. K-R-E-G-E. And if you do a little bit of searching on the internet under Google, or if you go to the website of the AdelaideInstitute.org, Adelaide is in as in Australia, AdelaideInstitute.org, you will find a lot more information about Richard Craigie. I've known him for several years now. I can't even remember how far back I've known Richard. And in 2002, I had the pleasure of joining him and Frederick Tobin and others, Frederick being the founder of the Adelaide Institute, joined them at a conference in Moscow where we all got up and presented some papers that were, needless to say, controversial. Well, Richard is a very interesting guy. He is a qualified electronics engineer, folks, and he's done some very interesting scientific research regarding claims surrounding that issue known as the Holocaust. And I'll tell you right up front, folks, Richard has been called a Holocaust denier. Well, he is a Holocaust revisionist because he's bringing history into accord with the facts. And in this case, Richard is available to present facts. He's a very competent researcher. He's been looking into the issue for a long, long time. And I think you're going to find what he has to say here very, very interesting. But I will tell you this much, folks. Richard, let me read you an article that tells a little bit about him. It's very interesting. It was from the Canberra Times. Richard Craigie of Canberra says that data collected during a week at Treblinka, that's the famous concentration camp in Poland, he says his data collected during a week at Treblinka using ground-penetrating radar found no soil disturbance consistent with 870,000 Jews having been buried there. It's a quote from Richard. Historians say that the bodies were exhumed and cremated towards the end of the Treblinka camp's use as a concentration camp in 1943, but we found no indication that any mass graves ever existed. Richard was using high-tech ground penetration radar. And, you know, I'll tell you, Richard showed how this penetration radar would even pick up a dead mouse in the ground. But in an area where there were supposedly 870,000 humans in some form or another buried, Richard couldn't find any evidence that any such mass graves occurred there, that there were no mass graves there. Now, Richard has been to Iran to speak about this topic. As you know, the president of Iran has raised some questions about what did or did not happen during the Holocaust, and he's come under a lot of fire for that. But Richard has already been to Iran, I think once, and I'm sure he's probably going to go back again because the people of Iran found his research, which was presented at various universities there sometime earlier this summer, to be of a great deal of interest, and I think you're going to find Richard's past research and his current research of great interest. But if this subject scares you, folks, you know what I always say: just turn the radio down, don't listen, but be sure to tune in for other programming here later. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a break coming up. When we come back, we'll bring on Richard Craigie.
100 million Americans have dangerously high cholesterol. Are you one of them? North American Urban Spice has developed Colestamine, an all-natural food-based supplement proven to give your body the nutritional support it needs to lower cholesterol and improve circulation naturally without the side effects of harmful prescription drugs. Call today, 800-243-5242, 800-243-5242 for Colestamine.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Hi, this is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. Join Jeffrey Bennett and myself each day at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we'll give you the flip side of the day's financial and political news. Had Warren Buffett tuned in, he could have saved himself $1 billion. You see, Mr. Buffett bet against the dollar 2 years ago. Had he had chosen buying gold instead of foreign currency, he would have made $2 billion. Don't make the Buffett mistake. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898 and let us help you ensure your wealth against dollar depreciation. For daily updates on the condition of the dollar, visit our website at republictradinggroup.com. Or as I said, just give us a call at 1-800-691-7898 and speak with Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898. And thank you for your support of Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Just a couple housekeeping details before we go to our guest, Richard Craigie, who has joined us. Must let you know that I am going to be going to 2 hours, but not until the beginning of October. Initially, we thought it would be next week, but it will not be until the beginning of October. Next week, we have at least one, possibly two very interesting guests lined up, still waiting to hear back from them. I'll let you know more about that on Monday. On Monday, I'm going to be spending a little bit of time talking about an unusual cult that seems to have developed in the so-called alternative radio movement, so to speak. This poisonous little cult is been very problematic for the last several weeks, and although I vowed I would never talk about it again, I'm going to have to talk about it, so that we will talk about on Monday. Plus some very interesting news regarding a new Anti-Defamation League attack on Christopher Boleyn and American Free Press. The ADL has issued a new attack on Christopher Boleyn and the American Free Press, and we'll be talking about that on Monday night. The ADL doesn't like what Christopher writes in our newspaper, American Free Press, and they shouldn't like it because it's the truth, and if there's any group trying to suppress the truth, it is the Anti-Defamation League. And the guest I have here tonight is considered quite controversial by the Anti-Defamation League. Richard Craigie, welcome aboard. How you doing tonight, Richard?
Welcome, Michael. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk on your program, and a warm welcome to your listeners.
Yeah, Richard, I told the listeners before you came aboard a little bit about your research at the Treblinka concentration camp, and I want to emphasize again, we're talking hardcore scientific research here. The Holocaust lobby and groups like the Anti-Defamation League and the Simon Wiesenthal Center always accuse people who raise questions about the Holocaust of being anti-intellectual. Well, they are the ones who are being anti-intellectual, because in this case, we're not just talking about ideas. We're talking about hardcore scientific findings about Treblinka. And I'd like you to talk about your Treblinka work, which you did several years ago.
Certainly, Mike. When I got involved in this matter or issue many years ago, one of the things that struck me was how little scientific evidence there was to confirm or refute the Holocaust orthodox claims that had been made at the time. As you know, it was largely based, and still is largely based, on testimony and some other scattering of very superficial information, but there is this dearth of any hardcore scientific information as such. And so that's what sparked my interest from the very beginning.
And you are a scientist.
Well, I'm an engineer by qualification.
Well, that makes you a scientist in my book.
Well, I think there's a subtle difference, but I'll
accept the
that.
Honor. Okay.
So in any case, I do tend to have a rather rational, logical mindset, and so I do tend to approach things wanting to get a more fundamental grounding in the veracity of something rather than a more, dare I say, wishy-washy evidence.
Right.
And so it was with this mindset that I then looked about and wanted to determine how could I approach these Holocaust claims in a more scientific manner. And I thought one of the things that struck me was if the large number of bodies that had been claimed to have been buried at these Eastern European so-called death camps, such as Treblinka and Belzec, we're talking in Belgium, at Treblinka, for example, 800,000. Now, that's an enormous number of people. You know, that's a whole city.
Lots of DNA.
not just DNA. Lots of space would be physically required to bury such a number of people. If you go past any grave yard or I'm not sure what the terminology is in America.
A cemetery.
You'll see they take up a lot of space, and additionally, there's not that many people there. Now, admittedly, that's not directly comparable with a mass grave, but in any case, 800,000 people would take up a large amount of space. And so my reasoning back then was, well, gee, I mean, 50 years later, you would still expect to see some sort of evidence of the soil being disturbed. I mean, after all, archaeologists investigate historical things dating back thousands of years. 50 years is just a veritable blink of the eye, one would surmise. So I thought there was a good case for using some sort of geophysical technique to examine these areas and just to see, can I verify if there was a grave there, as is claimed, where the grave is, how big it is, and so on and so forth, and does the evidence correlate with the allegation? And so that was the fundamental principle on which I based my research way back in 1999.
And that's pretty basic, too. I mean, we're talking here, you know, a lot of folks, you know, will immediately say, well, most of those people were incinerated, but that's not the case at all. There are
if we go according to the Holocaust dogma, and on all of these East European death camps, the claim is first they were gassed, then the bodies were buried, and then only later, a year or two later, depending on which camp, were the bodies then allegedly exhumed and burnt to, quote-unquote, hide all evidence of the atrocity.
Well, exactly.
So the fact that, yes, they claim to have incinerated or burnt the bodies later on, they do claim that all the bodies were initially buried. So they can't get away from that fact.
Well, that's, you know, but I pointed out in the introduction, Richard, that the technology, and we'll talk a little bit more in depth about it, but the technology you used, I recall when we were in Moscow, you showed how this technology could even find the very clear outline of a dead mouse that was buried, like, what, 5 or 10 feet under the soil?
I don't recall exactly the details, but certainly, basically, it's a radar unit. I think most of your listeners might be aware of the fundamentals of radar. It emits electromagnetic radiation, which is then reflected back. And the differences in the soil density, or to be more of a technical explanation, the permittivity, shows it on the screen as a variation. So you see differences in the density. Basically, for soil, it's moisture content. It'll show clearly the changes in the moisture content in the soil. And the closer to the surface you look, the more accurate, or what's termed the higher the resolution is, of the radar, of the pattern that you see.
And I think it's probably important to point out here that in 50 years, there's not going to be that much new soil coming on top of whatever was buried there in the first place.
No, geological processes are very, very slow. Obviously, we're talking millions of years.
And if we're talking about, if we're talking even just, say, 100,000 bodies that had been incinerated, that's still an awful lot of human material that would interfere with the soil, and which would obviously be very clearly not of the standard type of soil.
Well, it would be a lot of soil that would have to be physically removed from the ground to be able to create a hole or a ditch or a grave to put the 100,000 bodies in.
Exactly.
So that's what we're looking for, this evidence of a large amount of soil that's been removed. And basically, when a mass grave is dug, effectively they do it in the most efficient way they can, which is basically you dig it about the width of a human body, or a bit wider, and then you dig it as long as is required. So it's basically a rectangular or oblong shape.
I guess the bottom line here is that that any number of thousands of bodies in an area which is supposed to be a mass grave is going to take up a lot of space. And today at Treblinka, or certainly at the time when you were there, there were special areas that were pointed out and said to be the locations of the mass graves.
Yeah, well, this is one of the problems I had. When you go through all the literature, it's all very vague. There's no precise map given that with an arrow saying, here is the 800,000.
Right. Okay.
One so-called survivor says they were buried over there. Another one says they were buried over here. It's all very wishy-washy and rather grey. So that was one of the first hurdles. Where do I actually look? So I had to narrow down a number of the most likely areas that overlapped all the orthodox evidence or testimony.
Right, exactly.
So,
okay.
For example, in Treblinka, I think about at least 50% of the testimony says they were buried in the southern corner of the camp.
Okay, well,
that's an area that I focused on.
That's pretty solid, 50% of the testimony,
And as well as that at Treblinka, I don't know if your listeners might be aware, there's currently three concrete three areas have been concreted over, and memorial stones have been placed in there. Now, the allegation is that these concreted areas are covering over the mass graves where the ash was put back in. And so that's another area that I surveyed because, again, according to the Orthodox version, these somewhere under these concreted areas, and they're quite large. We're talking about probably 50 or more square meters, I would say. Probably more for some of them. So we're talking about quite a large area. So I also took samples or line surveys over these concreted areas as well to see if there was any evidence that there was any disturbance, soil disturbance under those as well.
So, and the bottom line of it is right now, you know, we're going to go to a break here in a moment, Richard, and then we'll come back and talk more about it. But the bottom line is that despite all this extensive surveying that you did using high-tech radar mechanisms, you couldn't find any evidence of any mass graves. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome to call in here. The number is 800-313-9443. When we come back, more from Richard Craigie and his research on the Holocaust.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
All of times have come here, but now they've gone. Seasons don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. Be like they are. Come on, baby, don't feel the reaper. Baby, take my hand.
This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press. Of course, the internet website of American Free Press is AmericanFreePress.net. And I'm going to give you the address again of the Adelaide Institute in Australia, which Richard has been associated with. I'll say it again right now. It's AdelaideInstitute.org. I'll spell that. A-D-E-L-A-I-D-E. Institute.org, AdelaideInstitute.org. And if you go on Google and just type in the name Richard Craigie, which is spelled Richard just like it sounds, and Craigie is K-R-E-G-E, you will find a lot about his work. In any case, Richard is here with us. We do have a couple callers, but I just want to say that I had told Richard this during the break, and it's absolutely true. You know, there's some wonderful research been done by lots and lots of people on this issue of what did or did not happen during the Holocaust. And I know we had one caller here one night say that any questioning of the details of the Holocaust is morally repugnant. I don't share that view. And I know most of our listeners don't share that view, but needless to say, what Richard has done has, in my view, is very impressive. He doesn't claim to have the final word on the subject, but he has, as I put it, kicked open a door and left the challenge open for those who disagree with him to try to prove him wrong. So, Richard, before we go to the final break, the half-hour break here, I'd just like you to summarize what you have done there as far as Treblinka is concerned. And I think it's very interesting. You focused on one specific area, one specific concentration camp, and tell us what you found.
Yeah, Michael, yeah, I'd like to emphasize the point. I'm certainly not casting any aspersions or making any claims about the Orthodox version, but I'm simply stating that this evidence that I've uncovered and created regarding the ground-penetrating radar work doesn't correlate or support the Orthodox history of that particular camp. Now, this has simply opened the door, and this needs to be. I think there's a lot more work that needs to be done on it. But there's been no, there's been no effort on the other half to either refute or deny this or discuss it or any way, shape or form. So there's been a total blackout of this work.
And I do emphasize here, of course, that this is real scientific stuff here. This is not. Now, of course, they could allege that you fudged on the results or that you faked the results.
That's right, and I would challenge them to then do their own tests, but nothing's been forthcoming. There have, mind you, there have been similar sorts of tests done in the Ukraine. In fact, another Australian, Dr. Richard Wright, who used to be an academic, I think a forensic archaeologist from Sydney University, did some tests many years ago in the Ukraine on a mass grave. But I think it was of a more forensic nature, a hand type of work.
Right.
But the report has never been published. From that work, so take it of what you like.
Richard,
sounds rather ominous that they've never published, and we've attempted to get a copy of it, and it's never been released.
Well, so, you know, I hate to make an editorial judgment here, but I'm going to. It just seems to me that if the results of that test had proven that there were thousands or hundreds of even just hundreds of bodies buried at that so-called mass grave, that I'm pretty confident that they would have released that information, and it would have been a big big hurrah and huzzah and a hello and the mass media.
It would have been splashed on all the front newspapers, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, exactly. It would have been covered all over the world. And, you know, I'll tell you what, so far as I know, Richard, this may be the first radio interview you've done on the subject, at least here in the United States.
Anyway, Mike, this is the first time I've been given the opportunity to discuss this anywhere.
Well, that's good then, because we can call this a real exclusive for RBN. And as I say, you know, I've read most of the key literature on this controversy surrounding the Holocaust. You know, it's kind of funny. I've even been called a Holocaust denier, and I've written very little on the topic. But needless to say, as I say, I find what you have done, you know, very, very impressive, and I just hope that you're going to be able to continue in this realm. I know you're working on some other issues, too, related to the Holocaust, and after this break, we'll let you talk a little bit about that, and we'll also bring up some callers, Keith and Jeff. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for a lot more interesting information from Richard Krieghe.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting
Network. Broadcasting. Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here with Richard Craigie from Australia. He is with the Adelaide Institute. You can find their very good website at adelaideinstitute.org. A-D-E-L-A-I-D-E Institute.org. Adelaideinstitute.org. Okay, Richard, we have a couple callers here. Two of our Sharpies, let me bring them up. These guys, I'm sure, will have something to contribute. Let's go to Keith from Rhode Island.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. I just have a couple of facts here I'd like to rattle off and see what you guys would have to say about them, if that's all right.
Go ahead.
All right. First of all, I find it passing strange that all of these so-called death camps were conveniently located in the off-limits Soviet occupation zones of post-war Europe. None of these so-called death camps were ever discovered in the French, American, or British occupation zones of post-war Europe. They were all conveniently located deep inside the Soviet zone, which was off-limits to the outside world. How convenient. My second point is that the 6 million Jews, 6 million Jews never lived in the National Socialist occupied areas of Europe at any time during the war. The third point is the number, the figure of 6 million comes from a man named Ilya Ehrenberg, who was the Jewish head of the Soviet secret police. And my last point, I hope you're writing all these down, is that if 6 million people were gassed and incinerated, I would imagine these gas chambers and crematoriums would have to have been the size of Olympic stadiums, and there would have had to have been hundreds of them in operation for decades to achieve that result. So I'd like to hear what you have to say about these.
Well, I'm just going to make one brief comment here, then I'll let Richard comment it on. Some years ago, and I managed to lose the information, typically, I had a communication from a gentleman who had been the driver for a United States ambassador. He was a military driver for a U.S. ambassador who visited the Auschwitz concentration camp. And one of the first things that was pointed out to him was the so-called gas chamber. And after the ambassador left, he turned to his driver and said, this thing was just built. So that's one of those little anecdotal stories that I remember of the whole thing. But, you know, there's been so much research in the area, and I know Richard is far more conversant on it than I am, so I'll just let him make a few comments there.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Yeah, I'll comment on those issues that I know. In terms of under the Soviet era, don't forget that immediately after the war, it was Dachau and Buchenwald, which were the death camps. They were the ones that were plastered all over the newspapers, and in fact, I believe something like 50,000 US GIs were paraded past the Dachau quote-unquote gas chamber as evidence of gassings that occurred there. So it was the Western camps right after the war that were called the death camps. And then as it became blatantly obvious over the decades that no such gassings occurred, that most of the deaths that we see on the black and white film were caused due to typhus outbreaks and so forth, the alleged location of the Holocaust moved eastwards to those areas under the communist rule. Now, they were, of course, outside of, locked up under Soviet area, and so no researchers could get access to them. And it's well known that the communist regimes were notorious liars when it came to many of the World War II allegations. They had won the war against their fascist foes, and so no lie or depravity was too low to publish. So that's a well-known fact. AKA Katyn, for example, that took 50 years before the truth came out about that. So with your first point, Keith, I would say yes, convenient, but also that's how this Holocaust dogma unfolded. It's moved from the West to the east, and now that we have access to these eastern camps, it's in fact moved further east to the Einsatzgruppen alleged atrocities. Because many of the death tolls now in the camps have been lowered from Auschwitz. It's gone down to less than a million. Recently, you may have heard that they've lowered the death count at Majdanek. But, of course, the 6 million figure stays the same. So that means that the death count from the Einsatzgruppen alleged atrocities would have to be something on the order of 3 million.
And those Einsatzgruppen, they were supposedly roving bands of SS who were supposedly
rounding up Jews and killing it.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm a big fan of the Waffen-SS, and these guys were military professionals. They engaged in special combat operations. It would have been absurd to accuse these people of committing atroces against civilians.
Would have been absurd, but it also wouldn't have made any military strategic sense to waste your time and effort just killing arbitrarily.
Right.
Their main function, as I understand it, was protecting the normal troops from partisan actions, which was going on, and which was also illegal, but as we know, Stalin had never signed the Geneva Convention. And so that their main job was to round up and prevent these actions. Now, partisan action is unfortunately often quite brutal, but by nature. And so there may well have been atrocities here or there of a small nature, but certainly not this civilian type of atrocity that's been alleged time and again, and nowhere near the numbers that have been claimed. Now, with the Einsatzgruppen allegations, even the Holocaustians admit that all their victims were not incinerated but simply shot and buried. So these 3 million victims, alleged 3 million victims, would still be buried somewhere today. Yet, to this day, to my knowledge, not a single mass grave of any sizable extent has ever been found. So
you know, if I could digress for a moment back to Dachau, it's important to remember that, as you pointed out, all these American soldiers were paraded through the camp and shown the so-called gas chambers. Well, now the American Jewish Committee itself has pointed out in a little booklet they put out several years ago that that no one was gassed at Dachau, and yet there are still American soldiers who will, you know, angrily say, "I saw that gas chamber. I know that people died."
That's right. And I think, is it Dachau or Buchenwald or both, there's what they claim a gas chamber that was never used.
Right.
And
yeah.
So this is how they back out without losing face.
What,
so they claim, yes, there was a gas chamber, but it was never used. Well, of course, it was never a gas chamber. It was a disinfection chamber. Yes, thank you. Sorry, go ahead, Keith.
Well, I just want two last points, and I'll let Jeff get on it. But I just like to point out that the Baba Yar atrocity in Ukraine, it was for years it was ascribed to the Nazis, but it turns out that was one of Stalin's atrocities, Baba Yar, the massacre there. And as far as the gas, 6 million people being gassed, not one corpse has ever been found that was gassed by conducting an autopsy. So the whole thing is totally absurd.
That's right. With Baba Yar, I've started to look at that area using air photos that are available in the National Archives. And we've found some quite interesting facts from that area. I have heard that it was a communist atrocity, but I don't know enough really to make a definitive comment at this stage.
I do know that just recently, and as I say, I'm not an expert on the subject. I'm just kind of a student of it to the extent that I read the literature that comes out. There has been some recent research by a Holocaust revisionist which indicates that it's very, very likely that there were substantial numbers of Polish and Russian Jews who were, in fact, or I should say Polish Jews who were taken into custody by the Soviets as they moved into, as the Soviets moved west. So that's another little detail, actually a rather big detail, that tends to negate the figures of those allegedly executed by the Germans.
Sure.
One last thing. There was one historically verifiable atrocity against the Jews, but it happened in 1946 at the hands of the Poles, and so the Germans had nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're referring, Keith, to the Kielce atrocity, which is in 47. Now, that was actually, not many people know the background to that. That was a direct result of Polish people discovering about the atrocity I mentioned before, not Chełmno, Katyn. That was a direct result of Polish public becoming aware of the atrocities of Katyn, which was done by the NKVD.
That's
which
right.
Is a largely Jewish organization.
10,000 to 15,000 Polish intellectuals and army officers were slaughtered.
That's right. That's right. 15,000 of the Polish intelligentsia. And I was only, I think, in 1991 that Mikhail Gorbachev officially released the document that showed Stalin's signature, admitting that it was, in fact, caused by the Soviet communist authorities.
When the Wehrmacht captured that area in 1941, you know, Operation Barbarossa, they discovered that Katyn massacre, the Wehrmacht, and they invited the world press to that site to prove that Stalin's henchmen committed that atrocity and not the Nazis.
That's right. They invited the Red Cross. They invited officers from their POW camps, American, British, from all the Allied countries. Quite a few were invited to come along and to actually overview and supervise the removal of the bodies, the exhumations. There were newspaper reporters who were brought in. It was very open and very democratic, so to speak. And so if you compare the way they handle that with other alleged atrocities that they were supposedly performed, it just doesn't correlate, doesn't make sense.
All right, Keith, I appreciate your call. Lots
Thank
of good questions, and we got lots of good answers. Okay, let's go to Jeff in Vermont. Come on up, Jeff.
Hey, guys, how you doing tonight?
All righty.
Good. You guys are great show. I'm learning a lot.
Okay, that's good. That's what we're here for.
Thanks. I guess the main thing is any death be it in slave labor camps, because that's what I call them, is a tragedy. But, you know...
Absolutely, I agree.
If the Zionists or the Jews or whatever you want to call them, the Israelis, if they're making a claim, wouldn't you think they would have some empirical evidence to prove their claim? You know, not just hearsay evidence or this, that, he said, she said stuff, you know? That seems like that's all they have, you know?
Well, you know, unfortunately, you put your finger on it in your question. That's exactly what it all comes down to. I mean, was Elie Wiesel, one of the two, I think it was Elie Wiesel, claimed that at one of the camps where he had been, he said blood was bubbling up out like in coming out in geysers from one of these mass graves. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous. When someone dies, if someone is, you know, if you cut someone's throat or put a bullet through their brain, blood might gush out, but it's not going to blood is not going to come up from a mass grave in geysers.
That sounds like a Hollywood script.
Yeah, days and weeks after these bodies have been buried, and yet the funny thing is, Jeff, these kind of statements made by this man who is a Nobel Prize winner are just simply repeated as though they are fact. And, you know, the average American hears them and says, oh, isn't that terrible? Ain't it awful, Mabel? But, you know, these are just lies.
Yeah, and you got to realize, Jeff, this Holocaust issue, it's not just some alleged historical event. It's become a religion, and it also has very strong political ramifications. So, you know, they don't want people just to think of the Holocaust as just some other, just another historical event. Elie Wiesel said they want, when people approach it, to tremble. In other words, the whole psychic of someone is to be trembling at this altar. So that's the reason that they make up these fantasy stories, and not just geysers of blood. I've seen. I think he's also mentioned, Mike, that the ground would heave 2 weeks after the bodies were thrown in. Really ludicrous statements that just have no scientific basis in fact.
Yet they give him a Nobel Prize.
Yes.
can I just say one other kind of contrast here? With what's happening in Washington, D.C., with Fromm, Michael Levine, Paul Wolfowitz, all these, you know, pro-Israel kind of Jewish people, and there's so much relationships in the media with Hitler is just always coming out. And it seems like who's running the show in the United States government with AIPAC and the AEI and everything like that, it seems like they're of Israeli nature, you know? They're the people that would have been behind Hitler or something. I don't know.
It
just seems like...
You know what it is? It's very interesting, Jeff. You know, these people are always the ones who say that Hitler talked about the big lie and that Hitler said, just tell a big lie. The truth is that Hitler said that was what his opponents did, that they told the big lies and people would then believe them. And that's exactly what we find in regard to this issue of the Holocaust. Elie Wiesel talking about geysers of blood spurting out like Old Faithful, you know, and talking, as Richard commented, about the ground trembling. I mean, these are big lies, and people unfortunately believe them.
It's a Hollywood script.
Exactly.
Exactly. Couldn't put it better myself, yeah. He warned about the big lie technique. He's often claimed to have invented the big lie technique, but in fact that's what he warned about. And he said the Jews were very good at this technique.
That's exactly what he said, and yet it's all been twisted around. You know, whether you like Hitler or not, whether he did bad things of any nature, you know, the thing is, if he did things of a bad nature, then show what he did, but don't make up lies about him. I mean, you know, it's, and again, it just comes back to the big lie. So,
and they use Hitler as fear now, too. Hitler's like the guy you're supposed to fear. You know, it's always being brought up.
Well, it's this term is Islamofascism. They're using this to pound away not just at the radical Muslims, but all the Muslim countries. They're tying the faith of Islam to fascism, which was the great enemy, the great Satan of the 20th century, and now they've cranked it up to make Islamofascism the great Satan of the 21st century. So again, it's just more of the big lie.
Another Hollywood script.
Another.
Thank you, guys.
Just like 911. Jeff, thanks for your call. Okay, well, we are going to have a break coming up here in just a moment or so. In the closing moments, I want Richard to be able to talk about his current research, what he's working on. I know people will find out of interest. I am also still making available the special report on what happened to Liberty Lobby and the Institute for Historical Review. If people want to get that, I'm accumulating the names to send it out in a mass mailing for those who are interested. 50 detailed pages. You can write me at Michael Collins Piper, 1960 at yahoo.com. Michael Collins Piper, 1960 at yahoo.com, and put IHR in the subject line. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with Richard Craigie and find out about his current research conducted with the AdelaideInstitute.org. AdelaideInstitute.org.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England. And the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Digestive problems can be miserable. Get rid of acid reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, and excessive bloating naturally. Gastrinex is the wild and natural herbal support for all digestive problems. It's a powerful blend of herbs, spices, and enzymes to stop digestive problems quickly. For any digestive need, take Gastrinex. Call 800-243-5242 today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper. We've only had an hour here, but I think it's a very interesting hour indeed. And I doubt that those of you who ever had any set views on the Holocaust will have the same views after you've heard what Richard Craigie has reported here tonight. Richard is doing some research here in Washington right now on other aspects, and in these closing minutes, I'd like him to just tell us about that.
Yeah, sure, Mike. What I'm looking at currently are air photos. These are aerial photos that were taken during the Second World War. Air photos were taken extensively by the German Air Force and also the Russian Air Force was their main way of getting intelligence. And this has been a real coup for us because, by chance, many of the areas that they photographed were the same areas where the camps allegedly were or areas where atrocities occurred. Now, many of the listeners may have heard of John Ball, who published something called the Ball Report almost 10 years ago now, and he was the first to come out publishing these photos of the camps and pointing out, in many cases, just pure contradictions between what could be seen and what was alleged, because it was there for all to see and with the plain eye that it was simply did not occur what they were alleging. For example, there was no mass grave in that area, there was no wall built around Birkenau, there, and so on and so forth. In any case, I've gone ahead and I'm looking at Helmno, or Kulmhof, which is the first alleged death camp that was set up in 1941. In Poland, and just to give a quick run through, it's there. It's alleged that 150,000 Jews were killed at that site using gas vans in 42, from 42 to 43, and then it was disbanded for a year and a half, and then it was reactivated again in 44 when about 70,000 Jews were allegedly killed there directly on site. We have discovered the aerial photos for that particular area. It's called Rzeczku Forest, which is south of the Helmno Township. And lo and behold, it does not show any mass grave, nor camp, nor any structures of any sort. Right in the middle of the period in 42, when the Orthodox version is claiming that there were tens of thousands being gassed and buried per day.
And it's important to point out that these photographs, if the United States would not forge photographs to cover up evidence of this. If anything, they would forge evidence to prove it.
you can bet your bottom dollar if they did show graves, they would be published
exactly.
Everywhere.
Again,
again, they just keep it quiet and just let it lie low. So this is, that's just a summary of what I've discovered, but we'll be publishing that in a report, as well as other areas, aspects. In 44, I have to say there is what appears to be a grave in 44, but of nowhere near the size that's where it's claimed something like 70,000 were murdered in that year. And so it's also disbanded that Helmno allegation.
All right. Well, Richard, I hear that music coming. This hour has gone far too fast, but we'll have you on again sometime, even if we have to call you in Australia to get any updates on what you're doing. So, ladies and gentlemen, we thank Richard Craigie for doing this important work on our behalf, on behalf of the world. You can find out more about him at AdelaideInstitute.org. AdelaideInstitute.org. Thanks for listening, folks. Thanks, Richard. I'll be back here Monday night talking about the new cult that's poisoning alternative radio and the truth movement surrounding 911. Stay tuned for more good programming here on RBN. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.